You are what you eat. So if you eat food that isn't actually food, maybe you aren't an actual person, or you are a person, but you feel sick, you feel unhealthy, and you want to change. That's something I have been thinking about a lot lately, and I wanted to share with you all today here on Free for All Friday. Welcome to the Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I feel like talking about. And today I want to talk about ultra-processed food. My wife purchased a book recently and has read through it, and I've really enjoyed her recounting it to me. And there's other books, similar books on the topic. It's like Chris Van Tulliken, Ultra-Processed People, The Science Behind Food That Isn't Food. So people are trying to figure out, you know what, we live in one of the most technologically advanced age in the history of humanity. And yet we are sicker and suffer from ailments that people did not suffer from in the past. And especially in the Western world, we suffer from ailments that people in other parts of the world eating similar diets don't suffer from. So what is going on here? So Laura read through the book and we talked about it. And now we have changed up a lot of our diet at the Horn household. And it's made a huge difference. So the basic thing is dealing with processed foods, right? What is it? What food is bad for you? And it turns out what's bad for you isn't food. It's food that pretends to be food. It's food that has been injected with preservatives, synthetic chemicals, additives, things that are designed to maintain its shelf life and its taste that ultimately are not good for you and have a negative impact on the body. Specifically, that you don't feel very hungry when you eat it, so you have to overeat, you eat more calories, it's not nutritious, it leads to long-term health hazards. And ultra processing is in really like everything. So let me talk a little bit about it, talk about the book, then I want to talk about some of the things that we have done at the Horn household to overcome the ultra processed curse. So let's talk about just processed foods, right? You know, what does it mean? If a food is unprocessed or minimally processed, that means, and I'm reading here from health.harvard.edu, the vitamins and nutrients are still intact. The food is in its natural or nearly natural state. These foods may be minimally altered by removal of inedible parts, drying, crushing, roasting, boiling, freezing, pasteurization to make them safe to consume. But unprocessed or minimally processed foods would include things like fruits and vegetables, carrots, apples, raw chicken, melons, raw unsalted nuts. So this is just food you get out of the ground or comes off the farm. Maybe you have to freeze it, maybe you have to cook it, but it's minimally processed or it's raw. So processing of food changes it from its natural state, though. That's when you got to add stuff to it. Typically, the things that you add are salt, oil, sugar, and other substances. So like when you can foods, canned fish, canned vegetables, fruits that are put in syrup, usually they're canned that way, and freshly made bread. And that's processing, but it's still on the minimal end of processing. Most processed foods have two or three ingredients in them. But it says here, some foods are highly processed or they are ultra processed. And I'm sure the food you're thinking of right now is what I'm thinking of, and that would be a Twinkie. Why is it that in an apocalypse, the Twinkies will still be around and still be edible? Well, because they've been injected with so many chemicals to maintain their shelf life, it's made them highly or ultra processed. Adding things like fat, starches, sugars, hydrogenated fats, artificial covers, colors, flavors, and stabilizers. Ultra-processed foods are frozen meals, soft drinks, hot dogs, cold cuts, fast food, packaged cookies, cakes, salty snacks, everything that you really want that's in a box. I mean, honestly, if you want to be healthy at the grocery store, I know it's easier said than done. I'm not trying to boss people around. I just want to talk about what's made us a lot happier. Maybe it'll make you happier too. When you shop at the grocery store, the smartest thing you can do is just buy things on the outer rim of the store. The interior aisle food is usually bad for you. It's in a box. It's got a list of ingredients. If the first ingredients in there are seed oil, hydrogenated oil, these other preservatives that are used, it's probably not great for you. But on the outer rim of the store, what do you have? Fruits, vegetables, fresh meats, bread. The bread gets into a little bit of a problem here. So if it's a fresh baked bread, that's one thing. But a lot of the bread at the store, like for example, one of the things we changed at the Horn household is now Laura, and I'm so proud of her. Man, she's a solid wife and mom. She's getting it done. She now fresh bakes bread every day for the family. And she uses a bread maker. And it's not an impossible task. I mean, it just takes a few steps. You have to be diligent. But she uses just regular flour and yeast and makes this delicious bread. And what's amazing is my diet has changed over the years. I cannot eat bread in the store, like just like a regular loaf of bread in the store off the bread aisle. When I try to eat that stuff, it feels spongy and soft, and it just makes me sick trying to eat it. I cannot eat bread from the store. The only way I can eat bread from the store is if I toast it with the toaster set to 6 out of 7. I gotta toast it. Otherwise, like, it is just gross to me. It doesn't taste like food. It's disgusting. The only breads that I really like would be like a fresh made tortilla or a pita, something like that. But sliced bread at the store, I just can't do it unless it's like really, really toasted. And there's a reason for that. Why is it that you can have that bread at the store that can last? You look at the expiration dates, right? It can be out there for weeks. But when Laura makes bread at home, when she just makes bread out of the bread machine, that bread will become really rock hard and inedible in a few days. Like, that's why she has to make bread every day. That's why our ancestors had to make bread every day. You make bread. And of course, they learned how to eat really hardened bread. Like, they ate stuff that would chip our teeth probably. But they learned how to make and eat bread that would go hard because it doesn't have preservatives in it. But at the store, they want to do it. They want to keep it. They want it to last longer. And I will tell you this, reading this about ultra-processed food, as someone who does believe capitalism has fed humanity better than any other system on Earth, I do lament the fact that capitalism has led to corporations creating food that is ultimately not good for us. Even if it does rescue people from starvation, it consigns other people to not malnourishment, but sub-quality food, food that really isn't that good for you, that is leading to these chronic health problems. And so the trade-offs are, it's hard. What do you do? I mean, you want to be able to feed lots of people. You don't want them starving to death. But at the same time, what we're doing with the preservatives and everything in them, it's bad for people. I'll give you another example of one, carbonated water. So we didn't do soda. We're not really big alcohol drinkers, anything like that, mostly just for cost purposes, honestly. But to have like a treat, normally we might have, we'll just do a flavored water, like a Waterloo or something like that. But after reading this ultra processed book saying, well, what exactly is in these natural flavors? They're not that natural that goes into the water, and the carbonated water, it's acidic. It's bad for your teeth. We decided, I'm just going to buy an infuser. Bought a little glass pitcher off Amazon. It's got a container inside. You put oranges, limes in it, cut them up, and you've got nice little flavored water. It's a nice treat. And that actually is natural flavor. And, it takes a lot more work than just keeping a can of carbonated water around. You have to change out the infuser. But the little bit of work, future Trent and Laura will thank present Trent and Laura for what they're doing with that. So it says here that a study in the Journal of Cell Metabolism compared the effects of an ultra-processed diet to the effects of an unprocessed diet on calorie intake and weight gain. The researchers found subjects consumed about 500 more calories per day on the ultra-processed diet versus the unprocessed diet. And it was a marked increase of carbohydrate and fat, but not protein, actually. That's the problem with ultra-processed. We've known about that for a few years. Chris Van Tulleken's book goes into it in detail, talking about people have always wondering, well, what is it about food that makes us sick, right? Remember the food pyramid? I still remember that in the third grade, looking at the pyramid. Better get my 12 servings of bread. Only want to have a little tiny bit of fat at the top of the pyramid and just a little bit of meat, the idea that I should eat more bread than vegetables. What monster thought that was a good idea? Probably General Mills, honestly. So he goes through in the book and he talks about how in the early 1900s, Harvey Wiley worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture as a food chemist. And back in the early 1900s, he suspected processed food had chemical additives that were making people sick. So he experimented on groups of young men that became known as the Poison Squad and proved that what food companies were putting in at the time were actually very dangerous additives. And so a lot of these chemicals that were additives in the food to preserve it were banned at the time. But still, there's things that are going into our food that makes it ultra-processed that ultimately are not good for us. So he goes through and talks about how it relates to people with a lot of chronic illnesses. What's a neat thing about the book is that it's not an advocacy book. Van Tulleken isn't like, look, I'm not telling you you have to do this. I'm not saying we need new laws. You don't have to do anything. He even admits, look, you're not going to get off ultra-processed foods. It's in almost everything. The best you can do is try to limit it. He's saying, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just going to tell you, here are the facts about what this does to you, what these emulsifiers do to you, like the fake emulsifiers they put into ice cream to make ice cream last. I mean, it just makes your stomach sick when you start to really think about it. Now, like, unless it's like homemade ice cream that's kind of expensive, it doesn't last as long. Like, I would never go to like a Brahms or a Dairy Queen. Like, ugh. And I know when I read the book and when I taste the food later, I can taste the chemicals. I know it is not good for you. And he just says, look, take it or leave it. So I like that approach. It's not trying to beat you over the head. It just says, hey, read this. It was helpful for me. Maybe really helpful for you. So that is the book, Ultra Processed People, The Science Behind Food That Isn't Food. Chris Van Tulleken, a British health nutritionist, scientist. Definitely recommend that. And then maybe in a future episode, I'll have the wifey on, Mrs. Laura Horn, and she can go deeper into the subject and what she thought about it. But thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.